You're listening to the Cornerstone Word of Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this teaching from Pastor Mark. For more information on our church, please visit cwol.org.
You know, one of the things when God shows me so much, I have to be really careful of is not just to try to do it. So I've seen some things. I feel like there's some things that are supposed to happen tonight. And yet, I want to give the word first place, and I want to talk to you about, everybody say, I'm living in the overflow. So we're going to talk about some rivers, kind of stuck on rivers. Rivers, thank God for the rivers of God. And in John chapter 7, in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up. Now you got to understand, it says the last day of the feast. That was the feast of tabernacles. That was a feast where they gathered together, and part of the ceremony had to do with a water ceremony. And so there were some things they did to represent. And so Jesus is using what the children of Israel are used to in this feast. And he's talking to them, and so he does this in John 7:37. So you know the scripture. It says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. This comes from Isaiah 12:3. It says, therefore with joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, joy. One of the things we have to fight for right now, it seems, but fight's the wrong word, contend for, is we have to contend for joy in the church. You have to watch that everything gets a little somber and everything has to be perfect. Maybe I'm not talking about you, maybe I'm talking about me. Everything has to be perfect all the time, and this has to be this way and that. But really, we just need to loosen up a little bit tonight. You're in the room. You had your long, you went to the fireworks, or like me, stayed home. You had your barbecue, or whatever you had. You've had a long weekend, and I'm happy that you made it in the room tonight. And there's a lot of people traveling back, and maybe people are watching. But I just need you to relax a little bit. And the first thing we're going to talk about is you and I, the joy of the Lord is my
strength.
Amen? Are you supposed to be living in joy?
Yes.
Are you supposed to be enjoying life?
Yes.
Amen? And so even when things are going bad, one of the things to honk off the devil and get him out of your face is to laugh at him. When he's hit you with his best punch, and all you can do is ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Amen. At famine and destruction, I'm just going to laugh.
All right.
That'll confuse an enemy who just tried to put you out. Jesus was able to endure the cross rejoicing with joy at the shame. And it was right there. He was rejoicing not because of going to the cross. He was rejoicing because he's about to go through the cross. And he saw us on the other side. And he knew what they were going to say, the devil and the demons. They were going to say, if we had only known, we would have, because see, they thought they had him. How could you rejoice when it's over? How could you rejoice while you're hanging on a tree? How can you rejoice? In other words, the devil's thinking, we got you. And Jesus is telling the Father, forgive them. And he's rejoicing at his end. Even though it doesn't look like it's going to be a good end, he sees beyond it. One of the greatest things about faith and walking in victory is to be able to see the answer, to be able to see the end. You rejoice. Hallelujah. With joy, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end. Amen. The joy of the Lord is my strength. With joy. So one of the things the devil will try to get you and me to do is lose our joy. To get all pickled faced about it. Look like we've been sucking on lemons about it. Try and get us to worry about it. Try to get us in a place of despair about it. But faith never despairs. Faith always rejoices. And then the key is this. This festival is taken from something. And Jesus knows that everybody knows what's going on. And really, he's about to tell them, the water that's being poured out is me. And that water represents something that's alive. It's living water. And with that, with joy, you're going to pull out of your innermost being the wells of salvation. Amen. So listen, Dr. Jerry Savelle used to say, he said, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't get your stuff. Or your goods, or however he said it. I'm sure I just, but how many of you know the devil is after your joy? And tonight you're going to get some new joy. Well, do I got to put it on? Absolutely, you got to put it on. You put your clothes on, didn't you? Well, I don't want to be fake. Well, you're just going to rejoice in the truth. And the truth is you've been made free. And the truth is you have victory. And the truth is Jesus is at your end and he is your end. And so you know the outcome. And you win. If you don't quit, you win. Come on, that's something to be happy about. That's something to have joy about. And so he told them, he stood up at the last day of the feast, and he said, he that believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got a river of life in you. And he spake of the Spirit, which they believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost, he was talking about the Comforter, the one that Jesus had to go away. So that the Holy Ghost could come. The Holy Ghost was not given because Jesus was not yet glorified. All right? So I want to tell you, first of all, I want to remind you. So Jesus prophesied to the future believer. He said there's going to be a river of life. And it's going to emanate from your born-again spirit, from your belly. Come on, everybody say it again. Out of my belly. Out of my innermost being. There are rivers. Not a river, rivers. Rivers, what kind of rivers? Rivers of life. Where is the source of that river? Jesus, he's the one that stood up and said, in the last day, he stood and cried, said, if any man thirsty, come unto me, and if you believe on me. Well, Revelation 22:1, I know some of you know these scriptures, but I want to remind you. And he showed me a pure river. A water of life. It's the water of life. It's the water of life. This river is not just something Pentecostals talk about. This river is not just a sense. This is the very life nature of God. This is the very breath of God. It's another way to say the breath of God. It's the life of God. And that life, the life of God is in you. I got the life of God in me. I got his life, his nature, his ability. I got the life of God in me. I've got a river on the inside of me. I got a river on the inside of me. That river started. Every river has a mouth. Every river has a beginning. And you and I have to know the beginning of this. Jesus is the beginning. He said, a water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God. And not just the throne of God, the Lamb of God. So if you can imagine out of Jesus, see, sometimes our brain will go tilt. There are some things, this is really literally not figuratively. Jesus, the Lamb, has a river of life coming out of him as he sits on the throne. He is the river of life. And they couldn't partake of it. And they were having a festival that all represent all the fest. They point to Jesus. And in the middle of this, the Feast of Tabernacles, he stood up and said, I am that river of life. And when the Holy Ghost comes back, get ready, because I'm going to put that river in you. Everywhere Jesus went, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Every time there was death, when Jesus came and he touched it, life came. Sometimes we're so concentrated on the outcome of how do we get miracles? How do I get a change in my life? When what you need to concentrate on is the life of God flowing in me. Are you identified with the life of God? Because where there's life and light, there is no darkness at all. And gross darkness can come, but if you'll just walk in the light and the life of God, it will remove death and it will remove defeat. So we need to look past, like Jesus did, the obstacle, the cross, the mountain, the burden. We need to do everything he told us to do. But if you concentrate, if you look inward, what's in me? I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm born of God. But Jesus said, I'm telling you, when you get born of me, that there is a river that's coming on the inside of you. John the Baptist said, if we would believe, there's somebody coming whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. I'm going to baptize you with water. I'm going to baptize you with water under repentance. But somebody's coming after me. He's going to baptize you, fully immerse you in the fire of the Holy Ghost. We got fire, we got water, we got wind, we got breath, we got life, we got all the elements of God working. And I want you to see the river part of it is, I want you to see there's a river in you. If you can imagine proceeding out of the throne of God, out of the mouth of the Lamb of God, the one who died for your sin, the one who rose, put his blood on the mercy seat, he sat down, and one of the things he's doing is he's bringing forth life, 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 life. And it wasn't, God could have chosen to just have that life pop up here and there and a little bit here and a little bit there, but he chose to put the life in you. So that everywhere, that's why the devils, if they would have known, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. Because when Jesus showed up in hell and he was raised from the dead, come on, then all this life that they had placed in one is now in many. And it's in many. And it's in many. And the devil has done many things over the year to suppress the life of God. But revelation needs to come to you and me again that the life, the very nature, the very power of God is living. It's living. That life is living. That life, he's alive on the inside of you. That's why Smith Wigglesworth said every day he got up and looked in the mirror and he said, God lives in that man. You can say life lives in that man. When you've got the life of God, the nature of God, when you talk from life. You talk from life. And when you talk, life comes out of you. Why? It's like then you can see that there's a river when you mix your faith and the Word of God and you speak light and life. It's mixing together. See, I'm so happy I'm spitting all over myself. It's that it comes out and it moves death. It moves sickness. It moves poverty. It moves things that are opposing the life of God. But you got to get it out of you. But the first thing you need to realize, it's in you. Everybody say, I got the life of God in me. Say, I have rivers. I have rivers coming out of me. In Ezekiel 47. This is a prophecy that many of you know, but we're going to just look at it. Remind ourselves of it. Ezekiel 47. We're going somewhere, y'all. We're going to get there. After 47:1, afterward, he brought me again into the door of the house and said, behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down from the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. And he brought me out of the gate northward and led me the way without with the utter gate by the way, and he looked eastward and said, behold, there ran waters out of the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the ankles. And you can preach this a lot of ways. A lot of people like ankle-deep water. And then he went out another 1,000. He brought me through the waters. The waters were the knees. The knees, you're still in control of your life. Because you can see the ground. You're still in control. And he measured 1,000. But, you know, you're in the water. He brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Uh-oh, we're getting up towards the waist. Then he measured 1,000, and it was a river. Everybody say river.
River.
That's where you and I want to get to. There's a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen. The river was overflowing. I'm living in an overflow. Waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. I couldn't swim from one side or the other. I was no longer in control of my life. I had to yield to the river. I had to let the river become the life of God, take me where it wants to take me. I've lost the decision-making ability. I'm going with God. My life is not my own. At ankles, my life is my own. I may be saved, but I don't know if Jesus is really the Lord of my life. Now, that's nobody in the room. At ankle, I can feel it. I can feel the flow, the current. You know, I'm tempted. I'm tempted to, you know, I see people floating down the stream. I'm tempted. Then I get up to the loins, and then I get a little bounce in me. You know, do I let go and let God? Or do I, and that's really one of the harder ones. Because there's so much force in the river, you want to lean back and let it go. But your feet are still on the ground and you have control of your life. The Lord is really looking in these last days for river riding people. River riding people, what do I mean? Those that'll just go with God. Those that'll just flow. And so I think he's found a group of folks in this room that come to this church that are that. But I just want to remind you that this is real important. Everybody say, I'm riding down the river. I used to have Ted sing a song, the river's wide, the river's deep. Something about I'm diving in. Everybody say, I'm diving in. And I know a lot of you, you know, you're there, but I just want to remind you that the things of life, cares and worries and stresses, the thing you need to do if you're river riding is trust the river. It'll get you where you need to go. Really, the decisions of your life are God's decisions. Who do I marry? Where do I live? Where do I go to work? What school do I go to? What do we do about this? What do we do about that? Riding down the river. Now, where I see this is what the river is supposed to produce. Then he said to me, well, he said there's, verse 7, now when I returned, behold, the bank of the river, there are many trees. Now on the other hand, you go back to, hold your finger there, and Psalms 1. Now, I prayed on Psalms 1 for almost a year. Because of something that was going on. And Psalms 1 says, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Everybody say, that's not me. Nor stand in the ways of sinners. That's not us either. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he does meditate day and night. That's you, right? And he's like a tree Okay, hold that. And he said, now I return and hold the banks of the river. This vision he's having, he sees many trees. Now, a lot of people think those trees are in heaven, and they might be. I don't know, but I don't think so. You're the trees. Is healing necessary in heaven? Is it? Does anybody need to get born again in heaven? No. So, I'm not going to argue with anybody, but everybody say, I'm a tree. And where am I planted by? Ezekiel says there's a river. Revelation says there's a river that proceeds from the throne of God. And then Jesus said, but the river's in you. It starts with him, but there's, I'm getting somewhere, y'all. There's a river in you. But you're also the tree. How can that be? I don't know and I don't care. I just know I am a river. I got a river in me and I'm a tree. And I'm planted by the rivers of living water. So I'm planted by myself in him. I don't know. I just know I'm a tree. And I'm planted. Everybody say planted. Those that move around in these last days who will not plant themselves and make Jesus the Lord of their life and not plant themselves in one place and stay, they will not be able to produce in the ways that others do. There is a day and now is when I'm calling you to plant yourself, to be unmovable, steadfast in the faith. And when you do, my rivers will flow through your roots and you'll be solid and grounded and grow up. And he said, and he'll bring forth fruit in his season. Everybody shout, it's my season. When is season? It's due season. It's jubilee season. It's double jubilee. Come on, you fruity trees are producing. I said, you fruity trees are producing, and you're still producing. Why? Because your roots go deep into a move of God. Well, Pastor, I don't know if we're having a deep move of God. Well, quit saying that. We are. I'm just looking around and I don't see it. Well, since when did you start living by sight? Since when did you go by putting your finger up and judging everything? You know, right now, listen to me. The Lord was telling me one time, because I have a tendency to do it. You can look. You know, sometimes if you catch our services on YouTube where they get the camera angle just right, I mean, you can make it look bigger and better. Pastor Rhonda was watching us on YouTube and she said, man, we're big time. We have a kick in praise and worship. I guess I was preaching. She said, the preacher's fabulous. I mean, but sometimes when you look at other things, you think they got more. They got better. Listen to me. We have all we want. And if you want more, you be the river. You be the river. Come on, say, I'm a river. And I'm also a tree. And I'm producing fruit. And the river is running through my roots. See, my life is planted deep in a move of God. This church is planted deep in a move of God. Amen. The river's still running. The river's still good. Amen. I'm jumping in. And he says, and his leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. Everybody shout, that's me. You're not just a tree. You're a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Amen. You're a tree planted. Jeremiah 2. No, that's not the one I want. Jeremiah also talks about in 17:7-8, he said, blessed is the man that trusts the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And he said, for he shall be a tree planted by the waters and spreads out her root by the river. Come on, say, my roots are in a river. My roots are in a move of God. My roots are in a move of God. My ministerial roots are in a move of God. This church is established out of a move of God. It really is. And God is still moving. Well, God's done with some things. Listen, I think you got to be careful. The word of faith was not a movement. The word of faith is always been. People tapped into something. But see, where I come from, where I came from, Rhema, it was started. Oh, Lord, here we go. Thank you. It was started by a man who, when he was born, his grandmother thought he was dead. And she carried him out, because in that day, that's what they did, carried him out to bury him, this little baby, who was supposed to be named John, who was named Kenneth. Jesus appeared to Brother Hagin's mother and said, name him John, but she didn't. She named him Kenneth. So sometimes when people disobey, you can still have all the good stuff anyway. All right? And so his grandmother, his account goes, she detected a spark of life in him. When Brother Hagin was in the womb of his mother, God decided before Brother Hagin did anything right or wrong, before anything happened to him, that he would be a part of the end time move of God. And so I want you to mull over that. And so I say it like this, whether, you know, God sent me there. Listen, God could have sent me anywhere to done anything. There's lots of good schools. There's lots of good ministries all over the United States. Still are. But God, when I was reading a book called Understanding the Anointing, he said, flip it over on the back. And he said, you see that man? I didn't know who that man was. I didn't know if it was a crazy man. I didn't know if it was a doctrinally good, sound man. I just knew he had a picture. And the Lord's, and I didn't know where Broken Arrow was. I had no desire to go to a Broken Arrow. I was quite content with my dream job, living in Indy. Just wanted to find a church and serve God. I was happy to be free. But he said, turn it over, read that. And then he said, I want that man to teach you. Go set yourself under that man and let him train you. Well, what does that mean? Brother Hagin and I became best friends, and I went into his office every day, and he said, hey, Mark, good to see you. I never met the man. Sometimes people want to be trained. They think that's personal contact. I got trained by that man by sitting under him. I got trained by that man by reading all his books. I'm still getting trained by that man. I know some people traded in their spiritual father, but mine's not dead. He just moved. Just like my natural father, you know, people call it dead. He's not in my past. He's in my future. I don't know why people want to trade in somebody who's not dead. You don't have many fathers, but anyway, I digress. And so because God sent me there then the mandate that was on his life, and because God sent you here, the mandate that was on that is now on you, whether you knew it or not. And one of the things that I admired about Brother Hagin, I remember when people said to me, now don't go there because you'll get that Rhema spirit. I went and I got it. And it's called a spirit of faith. Amen. It's called a spirit of faith. It's called everything you see around you was built by a spirit of faith. Everything you see around you, I came here with nothing except a plan from God and a promise from the book that he would supply all my needs. And it didn't look like it at the beginning, but God has been true, and every naysayer has been a liar, and anyone else has been tried to say we weren't going to make it, we made it, and we're still standing. Hallelujah. Uh-oh, feel the sassy anointing coming. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This river that lives in you, and you're that tree. So it says, in Jeremiah, it says, for you'll be like a tree planted by the waters, and you'll not see when heat comes. Her leaves shall be green, and she'll not be careful in year of drought. She'll never cease from yielding fruit. And so I'm doing a little bit of a, you know, shotgun here a little bit, but everybody say it again. Say, I'm a tree. Where is that tree? Well, you're here on the earth, and you're connected to a move of God. My life and ministry is connected to a move of God. What was on him is on me and is on you. He's not dead. We picked up his mandate. He just moved. It's part of, I don't know, it's a little bit kind of your DNA. And if you'll cooperate with it, you'll get to see it. One of the things I loved about Brother Hagin was he was sound in doctrine, no matter what anybody had told me. He was the most doctrinally astute man. And I believe Brother Keith Moore picked up that side of him. Keith Moore is the voice of reason in the time of insanity. If you have a doctrinal question, go to keithmoore.org or Faith Life Church, and he has preached on it, I guarantee you. And a series, not these little standalone sermons, series upon series. You'll find it. Other people have picked up other things about this multifaceted apostle of faith, Kenneth Hagin. Now, I'm not preaching about Kenneth Hagin, but I just want you to see the Lord puts gifts in people. He connects you to visions. He puts you in your portion of the river. He makes you a tree. And you are that tree. I don't believe that tree is necessarily in heaven, because healing is, because what's later on here? Ezekiel 47. And he said, then he said, verse 8, Ezekiel 47, these waters issued out towards the east country and go down into a desert and go down to a sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. Everywhere these living waters on the inside of you go, dead things are brought back to life. If there's ever been a generation that needs the healing waters of God, it is this generation. They need to come in contact with a living God, and you have that living God on the inside of you. And if they can get around you, and you can get around them, and let the life of God flow. It is not time to put your put a cover on your light. The light and the life of God is what people need. They need a move of God. They want a move of God. Even if they don't know they want a move of God, they want a move of God. Hallelujah. And then verse 9, it says, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. It shall come to pass. When is it coming to pass? Right now. It's not a future thing. It's a right now thing. Why? Because you got a river in you. You got a river in you. You got a river in you. Sometimes we pray for things that we already got. Amen. I'm going to do a lot of name dropping tonight. Andrew Womack has a great series. You've already got it. Why you keep trying to get what you got? You got it. Why? There's a river in you. There's life in you. Quit trying to get what you got. And then operate. Quit asking for God for something you got. The life of God is in you. The life of God is in me. I got a river in me, and I'm a tree. And that river that's coming up out of me is going deep into my roots, and it's producing something. It's producing fruit. It's producing life. And everywhere I go, life comes. Amen. It says, and they go into the sea, which brought forth from the sea, the waters shall be healed. Everywhere you go, things are healed. And it'll come to pass that everything that lives, which moves, wherever so the rivers shall come, it'll live. And there'll be a multitude of fish. What is that? People. Because the waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed. And everything shall live where the river comes. How much is going to live where the river comes? If I were the devil, I'd keep the river away. If I were the devil, I'd block you. If I were the devil, I'd dam you up. If I were the devil, let's skip ahead to what the devil does to some believers. We'll come back. In verse 11 says, but the miry places. Y'all, some of you heard me preach this before. I call these swamp water Christians. Pastor Rhonda, she talked about it a little bit today in one of the services. We own a house in Florida, but it's always referred to as her house. But, and I just let her get away with it because we splint the rent checks, and the rent checks are equally ours, and that's really all I care about. And so, but it's her house. She built it, her and her dad. And so we went down one time, and we were just tooling out by where she lives in Florida. And we went by this place called, and there was a big sign that said airboat rides. Well, what is that? That means you go into the swamp. What do you see in the swamp? Gators. I don't want to go to Gator World. I don't want to see no caged gator. I want to see a gator in the swamp and the snakes, and I want to see them. And my mom's probably sitting back there going, "What? Who, how did I raise this child?" And so, but I like to see that. And we went on this ride, and I was the gator spotter in chief. The guide just said, "Whatever he says, look," because I had my faith on gators. Small gators, medium-sized gators, big gators. Ooh, they're out there. And so, but the bad thing is, the snakes and all that kind of stuff, you wouldn't want to live in the miry places. As a Christian, the Bible is prophesying, and it's true, now is. What makes a miry place? There's inflow, but no outflow. One of the worst things you can do with the life of God is receive it and not give it out. Eventually, you'll become a miry place. One of the reasons I push people to serve, is especially when you're getting rich word, it's coming in, and if there is no outlet, I don't know how, but it begins to block you up. You get arrogant, prideful, know-it-all. The more you serve, the more it goes out, the better off you'll be. I remember when I was in Bible school, they put you up to, I call it an IV of the Word. And about second year, I'm just getting fat and sassy in the Word. And the Lord made me get into children's ministry in the projects of Tulsa, saved me. Because I finally had an outlet. I finally had someone to minister to. You know, look for it. Look for everybody. Figure out a way how the Lord uses you. Pray for somebody. Talk to somebody. Ask the Lord to send somebody across your path. Because you need to keep the river flowing in this hour. Everybody confess boldly, I will not become a miry place. Come on, you don't want no gators swimming around in you. You don't want no snakes. I mean, they got them big ones down there now. Those anacondas and all those pythons. And I mean, they can squeeze the life out of you. I mean, they're big. And you know, a gator will get you in one chomp and you're gone. I mean, even the little ones can take a hand. I mean, he's trying to make a vivid point. The river is good, but if you block it, if the life of God is good, but if you block the flow. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, don't block the flow. I'm not going to be a swamp water Christian. But remember, okay, now go back up. He said, everything where the river touches, it'll live. All these fish. And so I remember Kabura Basaya, Beskin Shkiden. So there's coming kombucha. There's coming Brigitte. There's coming Barangay. There's coming Shobote Le Gruste. In your season, your time, about the 60s and the 70s, I look back and I see where I went into that of the denomination is what you call. And I brought them out, the Roman Catholics, those who were not born again. And I visited them. And I spoke to them. And many were saved and filled with my spirit. It was an unusual move in an unusual time. Then I went into the walled up places and I spoke to them and I brought many out. And I've caused some things, but I tell you again, there is coming a move where some of you feel helpless and hopeless and you look at the state of my church, but I come again with life and power and I will visit them once again and I will show them who I am. And so I look at the rivers, I see the rivers and I see people's heads pop up of every race, of every tribe, of every tongue, of every kindred, and I see them flow together like never before. And this church has become a prototype of how to flow one with another, love one with another, work with your giftings one with another. One person is strong here, another person is strong there, but together you've learned how to flow in a current. And so you're going to take that and people are going to come in. Some will learn and go, and some will learn and stay, and they'll begin to flow. And I see them a multitude. I see the river turn into people of every race. race of every tongue, y cabroste celebrante, espiganando el amorconde in español, is bragunte, and the next move is scande, español se crobote in the nombrata. And so you're going to see an influx of those Spanish speakers, even in this very place. And you will come scamonde, and they will come down, and they will sit among you. And I have lifted up those Spanish speakers already in this church, and hold your place. For I soon will have great need of you. Hallelujah. Well, my Spanish is bad, Lord. Hallelujah. But hallelujah. Wow. Every tribe, every tongue, every people group. Come on, God's after us all. Hallelujah. It's time to learn to flow one with another. Hallelujah. And some of the times, sometimes you're going to have to put your preferences down. Some people call anointing, it's really their preference, especially when it comes to music. Don't ever mistake preference and anointing. I don't know why we're taking this side thought, but let's just go with it. Hey, you know what? The truth of the matter is, I like that last song, and I do get to pick around here sometimes, but I like a little flavor. I like a little sway. I mean, you know, I do. That's my style. I like it. But I remember when I used to have camp meeting songs here all the time. The straight beat, look what the Lord has done. I love those too. And so then my wife became the praise and worship leader. And she got a hold of a tape from Australia. And we about had a revolt. Not about, we had a revolt. And one of them that revolted was her mother, who is a Jimmy Swaggart keyboard piano. I mean, girl could twinkle, twinkle, and woo. And then I had a Nazarene lady on the organ. Then I had our current praise and worship leader. Y'all know Ted, right? He played the mean bass, little thump, thump. And then I had a dude, remember Rich on the drums? Lord, I didn't know you could play drums. We would have just done without that. Hallelujah. But dude could barely keep a beat. And it was straight up and down. And during worship stuff, I said, do not play. Just sit there. And one day he played. And I guess he got the famous Mark Garver look. And he never played on worship songs again. So that was our beginning band. And then my wife tried to teach them hill songs. And the organist said, I'm sure this sounds good in Australia. And you know what? I kind of agreed with her. Because I like my camp meeting stuff. It's what I led. And we had some moves of God off of it. And we got into some deep places. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me. I don't know why we're talking about this. But I do. We're just going to get there sometime tonight. Hallelujah. He said to me, for the people that I've ordained you to reach, that I've ordained you to reach, that I've ordained you to reach, you're going to have to change your music. I didn't do it because it was popular. I did it because he said so. And when Rhonda and I, Pastor Rhonda and I, search for music, we do it with the leading of the Lord. Every song we select, we pray about. And so if there's one you don't like, just wait for the next one. But you can worship anyway. If you're a true worshiper, you can worship anyway. We just went to celebrate Rhonda's dad's 90th birthday. So I remember when we first got married. First thing, that when I first met this man, he informed me that he called the Assemblies of God, and because they're assembly, and to see if my papers from Rhema would transfer. And he proudly told me that yes, we can get you transferred out of Rhema over into the AG. This is my new father-in-law. It's one of the first things he ever, you know. And I said, I don't want to transfer. I'm happy. So anyway, though, he got us a preaching gig. His Bible school was up in Kentucky. And so we went. It was their 50th
100th year, 50th class reunion. And he was old back then. And so, so this was a while ago, but he was old and they were old. And we were just starting out. I'm just telling myself a little bit. And, you know, we had just gotten into the Hillsong stuff. And y'all know that I can be pretty proficient in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And, you know, I've trained people around me to flow. And back in that day, we had a young Indonesian guy on the keyboard named William that if he struck the right chord, I was off. And I could, you know, so we went up there and we got into the church. And their lead instrument was a banjo. Now, Pastor Mark don't do no twang. I'm more of the flavor. Twang is out. And so we're in the hills of Kentucky. And they're singing songs embalmed in doubt and unbelief. I mean, whoo, I could tear those songs right side, left side. I wouldn't sing some of them. And so I got to preach after that and move in the Holy Ghost because the son-in-law and the daughter, you know, they're great ministers and they got us there. And so I'll never forget the Lord teaching me something. I got up and I just started worshiping. And suddenly this piano playing, snare drummed. I mean, they started following me. And I got songs. And I think I got a little twangy. It was a bluegrass spiritual song. I have never afore or since or really want to again. See, I said afore, you know what I mean? I personally prefer. We were in Lower Alabama. Belinda called me, her mom had went home to be with the Lord. And so we were going down to support her. And so she calls me halfway. We're at Cracker Barrel. And she says, the preacher can't come. Can you preach my mama's funeral? And I was like, sure. So we show up in the church in the middle of nowhere. Now, let's just say Pastor Ron and I stood out. And I said, Jesus, what up? Help me. Any of you grow up in kind of like Church of God in Christ, you know, maybe Primitive Baptist? And so the Holy Ghost, because I'm in a different situation. They did not prepare for, I've never prepared for such a thing. And so the first thing, the Lord, he's like, they're going to do things different here. Well, that's the truth. And so the Lord begins to tell me, the first thing I want you to do is honor all the ministers. And I said, Belinda, what does that mean? And she said, Pastor, I don't know. She grew up there. She didn't learn nothing there. She had to get away. She don't know. I mean, I'm asking this. You grew up here. What does it mean to honor the ministers? The Lord told me to honor the ministers. He made me fit in instantly with that culture. And then I found out that I'm going to have to read, and there's a procession behind me, and I'm going to have to read some stuff, and I don't know what I'm reading. And so the Holy Ghost said, this guy behind you, he wants to be in charge, let him. So I let him read, remember? The Holy Ghost help you. What am I telling you? Doesn't matter what culture you are. Doesn't matter what you prefer. You can fit in and talk to anyone. I can talk to a president or the poorest person on the planet. The Lord will help me fit in. I'm not intimidated. I used to be intimidated by people who were on TV till I found out I could be on TV for $30 a week. People come up to me and they're so impressed. Don't be impressed. I tell them, if you got 30 bucks and a camera, you can be on TV too. Don't be impressed with them. Please. So we're doing all this, and then suddenly I got a guy that pulls up on the hand. I'm preaching away, and I got a guy that pulls up on a Hammond B3 behind me. Now, I'm preaching the funeral, but now we're starting to have church. Because that pulled on me. And then the mother of the church, I didn't know the church had a mother. But I found out she was in charge. And she told us to calm down. So we did. But after we had our fried chicken and our greens, amazing, I got an open invitation to preach a revival there anytime I want. Now, I didn't ever take them up on it because I don't know how to get there again. I don't even know if Belinda knows how to get there anymore. One time we were traveling down through where she lived on the way to the beach in Destin, and we called her and we said, where y'all eat down here? There was no restaurants. And she said, whatever we kill on the side of the road. I'm telling you this because that's what the Lord is saying. What you and I have here is not an accident. It's planned of God. And it's a prototype. And we need to make sure it stays this way. And one of the ways you can help it stay that way is put your preferences aside. The Lord will help you. The Lord will, he'll get you what you need. If I can sing a psalm, a hymn, or spiritual song in bluegrass, you can sway with us when we sway in. You can sing a song in Spanish that you don't understand. Amen. Don't limit yourself because you've got a river of life in you. And wherever you touch, there's life. And when we all come together, the rivers come together. They get bigger. Now, that river is for now. Now, if you go back and you look in Revelation, what are the leaves for? Does anybody remember? Healing. The leaves. Does your tree have any leaves? The fruit. Fruit could be the fruit of the Spirit, but fruit of whatever kind. It's growing on you, and it can be shared. But the leaves are for healing. Okay, believers in the room. Amen. Believers lay hands on the sick, and they recover. I believe one of the reasons that the Lord had me bring Annie in, and she's coming quarterly, is to get you and other people what they need, but I think it will also push you into the streets. It'll push you to lay hands on the sick. Well, Pastor Mark, I'm believing for my healing. Well, Dr. Oral Roberts said, find someone with the same condition and you lay hands on them. Because see, you don't have to wait till you get everything all perfect before you go talk to somebody. Because it's the Word. It's Jesus. It's the river. It's life. Amen. I said it's life. Glory to God. So everybody say, I'm not going to be a miry place. Come on, we'll get all the crocodiles and snakes out of you. All the gators out of you. Amen. Hallelujah. We're like trees planted by the river. And we're going somewhere. So, when I almost called her Dr. Durant. That's weird. I'm sure she's whether to be called Dr. Durant and then Pastor Durant. So Annie, when she was here, she prophesied to us. And when she prophesied to us, she prophesied to you. And she said, the church is about to double. You know, sometimes I show you all too much of my humanity. Can I be real honest with you? If you know, if we got up to about 750 to 1,000 and just kind of hung there, we can send people all over the world. You know, we wouldn't have to build any more buildings. We could just camp. But I'm not a camper. I'm a pioneer. And we're still moving some stuff. So I've about got my fourth or fifth breath now. And I see what the Lord is doing, and he makes me laugh. But she said, you're going to double. Everybody said, it's double jubilee.
It's double jubilee.
And then she said, basically, we're going to double. And I believe that. Believe the prophet, so shall you war good warfare with the prophets.
We hope you were inspired by today's message. If you want to hear more from the Word of God, head over to cwol.org, check us out on YouTube or any social platform under @CWallMadison. We believe God is working within you, and we want you to know him so you too can make him known.